Hi, this is Christopher O'Reilly, host of From the Top. Thank you for tuning into this week's podcast. While this podcast is free for all of you, it actually costs our little nonprofit some significant resources to purchase rights for all this fabulous music. Please consider making a small gift to From the Top and keep us broadcasting loud and clear. Go to fromthetop.org and click on Support.
It's NPR's From the Top, the showcase for the best young classical musicians in the country, celebrating 10 years on the air. Today, from the Libby Gardner Concert Hall in the campus of the University of Utah in Salt Lake City, our lineup of outstanding performers includes a 15-year-old pianist from here in Utah performing the music of Stravinsky, and our youngest trumpet player ever, a fantastic 10-year-old playing a real trumpet showpiece. From the Top's home is New England Conservatory's Jordan Hall in Boston. Here's our host, one of America's great concert pianists, Christopher O'Reilly.
Thank you. Thanks very much. And welcome, everybody. It's great to be with you making our first visit to Salt Lake City. And I want to thank our hosts, Utah Chamber Artists and radio station KBYU, Classical 89. I want to thank them for bringing us here. It's sort of hard to believe that From the Top is making its first Salt Lake visit. It seems a little overdue, considering the great tradition of music making in this city, the Tabernacle, the Utah Symphony, the Jazz. And so to celebrate, we've got, in addition to the pianist from Utah, Joanne mentioned, a youth orchestra from here in Salt Lake. They're going to play some Vivaldi at the end of the show, and our very first performer, also a Utah girl from the Provo area. Please welcome, from Springville, Utah, 17-year-old violist Jocelyn Jensen. Jocelyn, welcome. You've brought us a piece by a composer who I'm guessing is going to be unfamiliar to most of our listeners. Introduce the piece and tell us a little bit about the composer.
I will be playing The Rhapsody by Shirley. And Shirley, he's Hungarian, and he was Bartok's understudy, and he also finished writing the Bartok Viola Concerto after Bartok died, and Bartok hadn't finished it, so Shirley finished it for him.
And I guess it's based on a lot of Hungarian folk songs like his compatriot Bartok had done.
Yes.
Great, great piece. Great way. And she speaks Hungarian beautifully. Shirley instead of Surly. It looks like Surly on the. So Shirley. Very nicely done. Gulash. Magyar. Shirley. It's a great way to kick off our show. But before we play, Jocelyn, we have a special guest, the senior senator from the state of Utah, Orrin Hatch. Senator Hatch?
As a lover of classical music, I want to welcome From the Top to our great state and to Salt Lake City. And I also want to tell you how enormously proud I am that there are going to be 22 incredibly talented young people from Utah on this show. 22! And wait until you hear how good they are. I knew there was a lot of great classical music being made in this state, but these young people are absolutely amazing. And after you hear them talk with Chris, I hope you will share with me a great sense of hope for our future. Now, to make this welcome official, I've been asked to throw out the first pitch. Jocelyn, what do you tune to?
N.A., Senator.
Okay, here you are. Have a great show, everybody.
Thank you.
Jocelyn Jensen, 17-year-old violist from Springville, Utah, playing Theodore Shirley's Rhapsody. Bravo, Jocelyn. That was really beautiful. Really
Thank you.
Great stuff. And so, I don't know, folksy and exuberant and rhapsodic. How appropriate. Jocelyn, one of the themes that's going to come up a few times in today's program is the concept of the big Utah family. And your family, Jocelyn, is just about as big as they come. We asked you to introduce us.
Okay, so there are 8 of us. First of all, there's
Joshua, and I just turned 19 today.
Joshua seriously wishes that he could have one outfit for every day of the year. He is such a fashion king.
Ty, 15.
Ty never wants to do anything my parents tell him to. He is a rebel.
Yeah, I am such a rebel.
Kenna is a mother hen. She just really likes to tell everybody what to do.
I'm 14.
Tennyson is obsessed with video games, and sometimes when he plays them too much, he gets in trouble.
Video games, that's me. I'm 12.
My name is Caleb, and I'm 8.
Caleb is wild, and I wish I could find his off button.
I'm Cassandra, and I'm 7.
She is such a girly girl, and she's so sweet. I love her. Then there's the last one, the caboose, Crystal, and she's 3 years old.
Hi, Dolly.
And believe it or not, we all play stringed instruments. We even have our own family band. We call ourselves the Sizzling Strings, and we started a long time ago when the 3 of us oldest kids would play in the mall during Christmas time for tips. And it's grown into this huge thing where our grandmother asked us if we'd like to come down to Arizona, because she is a snowbird and she likes to escape from the cold winter. And she asked us to come down and play for some of the RV parks down there, and we did, and now we do it every year, and we stay down there for a couple of months, and we finally make some money on it. It's really great to be in a big family, because there's always someone to hang around with, and there's a lot more people, so I don't have to do as many chores. I gotta say, we do have a lot of fun.
All right, guys, you have 3 minutes, no more. I'm starting the timer right now.
One of the things we do for fun is that we have this game called Fugitive, and what we do is we go down to a spot about a mile away from our house, and we have about 3 minutes to get away from the cops, which are our parents and some other adults that play with us, and we all try to get back to my house before the police tag us. And whoever gets back wins. Finally, this year, all my practicing paid off, and I got to attend the Aspen Music Festival in school, and I just loved it. It was one of the best experiences of my life, and it's the first time that I've ever been away from my family for any long amount of time, and it was just a real turning point in my life, and I finally decided that music is what I'm supposed to do in my life. I'm a senior now, and I'm going to be going to college soon, and I would like to go to one of the 3 big conservatories, Curtis, Colburn, or Juilliard, and I'm going to be happy to leave Utah, but I'm really going to miss my family.
Hold out!
Jocelyn, I know we're going to miss your family, too. I know the crew went and taped that piece with the family, and they just came back, such a great family. Wow, what a great time they had with you guys. And, you know, that fugitive game reminds me, you know, when I was living in Chicago, growing up in Chicago, our family went to Yellowstone. They dropped me off. Oh, well. Jocelyn, a big family has big family expenses, so I'm thrilled to announce you were a recipient of one of our Jack Kent Cook Young Artist Awards. Congratulations on that. Even with all this great music going on in your family, all you talented kids, you mentioned that you weren't really serious about music as a life path until this summer at Aspen. What happened there?
Well, I was with a lot of musical people, and I realized that that was my niche, and that's where I fit in. And also my teacher there helped me a lot, and he talked to me a lot about playing relaxed, which is interesting because through all my 13 years of playing my instrument, I've never really played relaxed. And so he started me down that path of playing relaxed, which was really good for me.
It's really astonishing because, you know, we spend so much time, you know, working really hard, and you've got the encouragement of your family and your friends in music, and yet Aspen is this very high-powered place, and so that's the place you found out how to relax playing the viola. I applaud you for that, and I'm so glad that you found your way into the musical community, and I wish you all the best.
Thank you.
In life and music. Thanks for being with us. Pleasure playing with you. Thanks,
you
Jocelyn.
Too.
Jocelyn Jensen, 17-year-old violist from Springville, Utah.
Check out the humorous video we have online of Jocelyn and her huge musical family. We took our flip cam to their house here in Utah, which, by the way, is in an incredibly beautiful setting. That's at fromthetop.org. From the Top is made possible in part by the Jack Kent Cook Foundation, advancing the education of students of exceptional promise who have financial need. On the web at jkcf.org. Chris.
Thanks, Joanne. Our youngest performer of the day has just joined me on stage with her trumpet. Her name is Natalie Dungy. Natalie, tell everyone where you're from.
I am from Issaquah, near Seattle in Washington.
And you've brought a great showpiece for the trumpet. What's it going to be?
We are going to play The Carnival of Venice by Del Staggers.
Thank you. our trumpeter, Natalie Dungy from Issaquah, Washington. Natalie, tell everybody how old you are.
I am 10.
My 15-year-old son is going to have that Xbox out the window. 10 years old. It's some of the most phenomenal trumpet playing I've ever heard. It's just so great playing that with you. And you really knew what instrument you wanted to play when you were really young. I mean, you started music on what instrument? On trumpet or something else?
On violin.
When? What age?
When I was 5.
But you always wanted to play the trumpet? How come?
Because my dad played the trumpet, and when I was 3 or 4, when I was a toddler, I always asked him if I could play the trumpet, and I always dragged the trumpet around and always tried to take the trumpet from him. And I asked him to teach me, like at like 5, when I was playing violin, and he said that I was too young, that I couldn't play. So I took the book we had that teach you how to play trumpet, and I read through the first like 4 pages, and then I learned them on my own. And then I said, "Dad, I'm ready to learn. And I will practice every day." And then my dad said, "Okay, let's hear how you play." And then I played it, and then he said, "You can play now. I'll teach you."
Terrible, sneaking behind your father's back. Teaching yourself how to play the trumpet. How dare you? You are one determined kid. You were determined to play in the orchestra before you were even really big enough to see the conductor. So you were in the back of the orchestra in the trumpet section. And what did you do to be able to see the conductor?
I had to sit on my knees. I still do.
Do you have to get the viola players to, like, you know, move out of the way so you can see the conductor, you know?
I have to get the bassoon players.
Oh. They're not necessarily the most cooperative bunch, are they? Well, speaking of determination, let everyone in on how you came to play Carnival of Venice on this show.
Well, you guys wanted me to play a different piece, but I wanted to play the Carnival of Venice because I liked all the high notes and how it sounded and the tune of it, and so I was determined to play that instead.
I saw you on YouTube, because there was competition footage of you playing this other piece, the Artunian, which is a very famous piece for trumpet, and it was extraordinarily impressive. But the high notes, are the high notes really the coolest thing about playing the trumpet, do you think? Or one of the coolest things?
Yeah, one of the coolest things.
What's so fun about them for you?
I like how they sound and how, like, there's octaves and you can, like, play high octaves and low octaves. And
yeah, very exhilarating. I think we should listen right now to some of the greatest high notes in music. You think that would be fun?
Sure.
All right, check this out. Wow, pretty cool. What do you think of that?
It's kind of high, I guess.
Well, I guess that doesn't impress you. Okay, listen to this. Wow, amazing, Natalie, right?
That wasn't even that high.
All right, fine. How about this? How about it?
Now that's high.
All right. I thought you'd like that. That was the late, great Maynard Ferguson. Great, great high note player on the trumpet. Now, you said that your dad is a trumpet player and your teacher, and what, at 10 years old, if he has to, you know, miss teaching some of his lessons, you take his students for him?
Yeah. When his students come and he is not there, my mom always says, why don't you go ahead and teach them? They're beginners. It's okay.
So what do they think about it?
I honestly don't know.
No?
They never told me or anything.
Well, what do you think about it when you're teaching them? Does it help you?
Yeah, it helps me, like, learn how to teach people. Because when I grow up, I think I want to teach people as well as, like, solo.
I want to study with you. I don't even play the trumpet. Because you know. At the age of 10, I really love your philosophy about age and music. I mean, you know, what does age have to do with music, do you think?
I always say that it doesn't matter how old you are. It matters how hard you work.
It's a great philosophy. Natalie, it was an honor playing with you and great pleasure being with you. Thank you so much for making the trip and being with us today. Great playing. Wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Natalie Dungey, 10 years old, a trumpeter from Issaquah, Washington. And now it's just another great kid from Utah. Please welcome 15-year-old pianist Wei-Yi Le. Wei-Yi, it says here you're from Layton, Utah. Where's that?
It's by Ogden.
You say that as if you're asking a question. Would you describe yourself
somewhere
as...
Somewhere in
Utah. Do you think of yourself as sort of geographically challenged, would you say?
Very.
I'm with you. I'm totally with you. I mean, it's sort of a squarish state. I have a very hard time. I mean, I know where Snowbird is. I'll get there, you know? You've brought a great piece by one of my favorite composers. Tell everyone what you're going to play.
I'm going to be playing the middle movement of the Petrushka, arranged by Igor Stravinsky.
Thank you.
Wei Yi Le, 15-year-old pianist from Layton, Utah, playing Shea Petrushka from Stravinsky's own arrangement of his three movements from his ballet Petrushka. Wei Yi, you know, when Stravinsky arranged those three movements from the ballet Petrushka for piano, he dedicated them to Arthur Rubinstein. It's a great honor to dedicate those pieces to him. Of course, Rubinstein said they involved too much practice time, so he never played them. Obviously, this is not a big challenge for you. You really catch all of this is the scene where we see the enchanted marionette Petrushka back in his little hovel. It sounds very glamorous to say Shea Petrushka, but it's just his little dungeon, yep. And you catch all of the fantasy and frustration, all of the different colors. Really remarkable performance. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's full of emotion.
Really, really, quite great piece. Now, Wei Yi, you like Utah, but you say there are a couple of things to beware of here. Like, for instance, the place is crawling with pianists. Is that true?
Absolutely.
You run into pianists all the time?
Yeah. You can just go up to people and ask them, like, what instruments do you play? And they'll be like, piano, and they can start continuing. You're like, well, besides piano, since, like, everybody plays piano.
Everybody plays piano. It's just, like, it's required. Almost. I was the only one on my block in Illinois. Nobody knew how to play the piano. So that's a great thing. Out here in Utah, I guess you've got to be careful of beauty pageants, too. You've had an experience with beauty pageants.
Okay, so it appears that this talent show thingy I was invited to play in, the host was also involved in this beauty pageant, and I was asked to represent the talent show that she hosted. So there's a bunch of beauty pageant people walking up, and suddenly there's this teenage boy that goes up on stage and starts playing piano, so...
In a bathing suit. No bathing suit.
No bathing suit.
Okay. Good. So, was that a comfortable situation for you, or you liked being the
You don't want to know what it was like backstage, because you just walk up there and there's a bunch of girls and they're all talking and you're like awkward.
Sounds like a great time to me. I don't know about you. But apparently, after all that, you're not planning on a modeling career, I guess. No.
I don't know. No.
What do you think you're going to pursue? I mean, you've told me you didn't think it was going to be music. It might be music, might be something else.
I don't really know. I just like to let things flow, but I might be going in I'm really interested in science and medical field.
Mm-hmm. And you like kids, right? You obviously get along with other kids. Maybe pediatrics. What do you think?
It's good.
It's a possibility. You may go into medicine. You've told me you'd never, ever give up music, which is a nice thing to hear. What does music do for you that you can't do without?
I don't know. In times of stress, it calms me, and in times of joy and happiness, it expresses me. And so when I ever have bad days, I guess, just sit down at the piano and it gets better.
And here you are, you know, obviously blossoming in front of a live audience and really making a connection, and it's just a great experience hearing you play.
Thanks.
Thanks for being with us, Wei Yi, and all the best. Thanks. Wei Yi Le, 15-year-old pianist from Layton, Utah.
Visit the online store at fromthetop.org to find the perfect gifts for the music lovers on your list. From the DVD of our Emmy Award-winning TV series to our critically acclaimed CD, From the Top at the Pops. Find it all at fromthetop.org.
Support for NPR comes from NPR member stations and from the Ford Foundation, working with visionaries on the front lines of social change worldwide at fordfoundation.org. From the Doris Duke Charitable Foundation, supporting the performing arts, environmental conservation, medical research, and the prevention of child abuse. From the Gruber Family Foundation to extend the breadth and depth of NPR's international coverage. And from the National Endowment for the Arts, which believes that a great nation deserves great art. This is NPR.
Thank you. Welcome back to the radio showcase for the best young classical musicians in the country, From the Top. We're celebrating our 10th anniversary year, this week from the Libby Gardner Concert Hall at the University of Utah in Salt Lake City. Coming up, 20 talented local young musicians play a movement from Vivaldi's Four Seasons. From the Top's home is New England Conservatory's Jordan Hall in Boston, where talented young musicians are creating a new century of musical excellence. Today's program is made possible with support from the University of Utah School of Music and Frank and Connie Madsen. Here again is Christopher O'Reilly.
Thanks, Joanne. Well, there's a marimba on stage, and there's a fellow standing next to it with mallets in his hands. So I guess that must be 15-year-old John Ringer from Chicago, Illinois. John, you're a Jack Kent Cook Young Artist and also a product of one of our favorite organizations for young musicians, the Chicago Symphony's Percussion Scholarship Group. Very heady company. Plus, you're born in my hometown, so that's pretty cool, too. Will you please tell everyone what you're going to play for us?
I will be playing Virginia Tate by Paul Smadbeck.
So who wrote it, Virginia Tate or Paul Smadbeck? Explain, so why is it called Virginia Tate?
Virginia Tate is a piece which is kind of like a love story. In the beginning, it's really mellow and soft, which is sort of when the two people are meeting, and then all of a sudden, the mood changes, and it gets really suspense. There's a lot of suspense in it, and it's really creepy, and it's all like, doop-a-doop-a-doop-a-doop. And then, you know, after that, it calms down and goes back into the smooth, mellow sort of phase. And then at the very end, it speeds up and it just diminishes into a really mysterious note. And you're like, whoa, what happened?
Well, we're looking forward to hearing this beautiful piece on this wonderful, warm instrument in this gorgeous concert hall. Stage is yours. Thank you.
John Ringer, 15-year-old marimbist from Chicago, Illinois, playing Paul Smadbeck's Virginia Tape. John, that was so great to listen to, and as well to watch you. You really sort of choreograph the piece. Covering the marimba is, I think, in many ways a lot harder than the piano. I mean, you're covering a lot more real estate. You really have to kind of move.
Yeah, especially when you're this height.
Yes, well, you're tall enough, I'd say. The marimba is such a physical instrument. Is dance part of your training, would you say? Or does that come into it at all?
I wouldn't say dance is part of my training, but because the marimba is such a big instrument, and unlike most instruments, you're not actually holding it. You have to sort of perform more and show more with your body movements and with your facial expression to sort of get your message across to the people. Like when I was at Interlaken, one of my teachers said, you know, percussion isn't just an instrument. It's a show instrument, and it's a performance instrument. And same thing with my teachers back in the CSO. They say, you know, just go out there and perform. Don't just play.
That's very good advice. Now, Natalie's dad is her trumpet teacher, but your dad has helped you with your music in an unusual way.
Yes. When I was starting out with the marimba, I had no idea how to read notes and what all this black writing was on the page. And during my classes, I was always the one that was falling behind everyone else because they had, you know, prior to the percussion, they had piano or violin or whatever. And me, I was, you know, I was at home playing video games. I was like, what? And so, you know, during those classes, because I was always behind, you know, there was a lot of distress. There was a lot of, you know, tension. And I there was a lot of tears shed from that. But, you know, when my dad saw this issue, he's like, you know, I don't know how to read music, but we're going to make you read music. So what he did was we went over the notes together. He would write them down on staff paper, and he would drill it into my head until I just got it, and look at where I am today.
Well, yeah, I mean, here you are, not only reading music, but, you know, this fantastically complicated piece, doing it from memory. Now, I imagine it's not easy, though, living with a percussionist in the house. Is it all fun and games for your family?
Let's just say it's a little bit loud. With the snare drum especially, you know, it's just booming all over the place, you know. And then there's the marimba. It's not really a loud instrument. But after, you know, hearing Virginia Tate, you know, 20,000 times, my parents kind of, you know, all right, you know, we're hypnotized enough to stop. And then, you know, now that I have timpani in the house, it's like thunderstorm every night. So.
Right, exactly.
And you know when to stop when, you know, they start closing the doors and then they just go into your room and just like, stop.
No more. And do you eat your parents out of house and home? I hear you'll eat anything. Where does this story come from?
Well, I'll eat anything as long as it's not looking at me and as long as it's not moving around.
Okay.
And one of my, you know, signature eating stories is I went on a field trip one time with my eighth grade classmates to Wisconsin, and we were eating lunch, you know, it was hot dogs and dessert, and they're like, oh, look at all this scrap. Let's just put it together and have someone eat it, and then we'll pay them. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, they piled on the mustard, the ketchup, the brownies, the hot dog.
Cheese, I would hope, in Wisconsin, you know.
You know, it was pretty disgusting. And they're like, you know, we'll pay you $20 if you eat it. So I was a brave soul, and a few minutes later, I was $20 richer.
So you're kind of an up-and-coming Andrew Zimmern, the guy who does bizarre foods on the Travel Channel, I guess. Would you be willing to repeat that stunt on this show, eat some mystery food and get paid?
If it doesn't look at me.
Okay. Or if it doesn't move, right? That's the other thing? Okay. I'm going to bring out a food item while Joanne reads our standard disclaimer. Joanne?
The following segment of From the Top is extremely stupid and is not suitable for lovers of classical music who are generally easily offended. Further, be advised that the segment pokes fun at a type of food supposedly beloved by the people of Utah, including, but not limited to, people of the Mormon faith. So, if you like classical music and you're a Mormon, we suggest that you turn off your radio or leave the theater immediately. Thank you.
Thanks, Joanne. They're not exactly heading for the exits. I think they want to see if John's going to do this. Okay, John, you have a covered plate in front of you.
It's very intimidating.
Under the cover is an especially bizarre food, but not so bizarre that, like Joanne said, it's not served all too frequently by Mormons. If you find the courage to eat this food, we'll do better than your friends and pay you $22.50. You still game?
Okay, let's see it.
All right, I'm going to remove the cover, and what do we have? What do we have, John? That's right, John. It's green jello. The official snack food of Utah. It's not looking at you, but it is moving. There's actually more jello consumed here than in any other state. And green jello, for reasons no one really knows, is the jello of choice for Mormons. Okay, John, take a bite if you dare.
Bread tastes better.
All right, John. 10, 20, 1, 2, 50. I mean, that plus the Jack Kent Cook Young Artist Award, I think you've made out pretty well today here, John. You're a brave soul and a great musician. Thank you. John Ringer, 15 years old, our percussionist from Chicago, Illinois.
Podcasts of From the Top are available every week at fromthetop.org. Over the last 4 years, From the Top and the Jack Kent Cook Foundation have awarded over $1 million in scholarships to talented young musicians who have financial need. And we still have more to give. Go to fromthetop.org to learn more. Chris.
To close our show, we have a wonderful local ensemble, the Gifted Music School Orchestra, 20 members, ages 8 to 17, conducted by Eugene Watanabe. But before we hear these kids play Vivaldi, let's meet two of the players. Our soloist in the movement from the Four Seasons we're about to hear is David Price, 17 years old, from Sandy, Utah. And he's at the mic with me and Elise Peterson, a violist. Elise is also 17, and she's from Holiday. Welcome, you kids. Good to have you with us. You both have somewhat similar stories. You're both from large Mormon families. Tell us about your families and where music fits in to your family backgrounds. David, how about you?
I come from a family of nine, and I'm the youngest, so got a big one. And almost all of us have played music. The driving force in my family to pursue music, though, came from my grandma. She, when she was young, she had a neighbor who played the violin, so she would go and sit by his window and listen to him play, and she loved that. And she really wanted to play the violin, but her family was too poor, so she could never afford lessons. So for us, she paid for all of our lessons and practiced with us.
Nice of her to encourage you and really come through for you after loving music her whole life. That's fantastic. Elise, how about you? How many in your family?
I'm the youngest of seven, and we've all been encouraged to learn the piano as our first instrument and then kind of take up a new instrument on top of piano. So I took violin as my other instrument, but then was encouraged to play the viola later so that I could be a part of a family quartet.
Well, do you miss the violin, or do you think you found your voice with the viola?
Yeah, I don't really miss the violin.
Okay, I'm glad. Good. So you're both the babies of your family. What's it like being the youngest and seeing all your siblings leave home? David, how about it?
I'm sad about it. I really liked having the big family, and it just seems really quiet at home all the time now. So I get out of the house as much as I can and get somewhere where it's louder.
Elise, how about you? Don't you like having all that space now that all your siblings are gone?
Not really. I miss them a lot. Aww. But holidays are extra fun.
Oh, I bet. Religion is very important to you guys. It helps define both of you. Elise, how about you? Is it a big part of your life?
Yeah, I'd say it kind of defines who I am by the church's standards. And I'd say that the church kind of gives us a lot of opportunities to serve through music. And I'm just really grateful for that and to kind of develop my musical talent to serve.
And David, you have had some experience with music and going to music camp in New York. How about it? I mean, if you're not among a community of folks that share your beliefs, what's that like?
Well, it was really different. It was interesting being around so many kids who had so many different ideas, and I don't know. After coming back from New York, it really made me appreciate the knowledge that I think that I have about my church, because there were kids there who didn't seem like they knew what they were doing, who were, like, doing drugs or, like, alcohol, like, every night, and they never seemed happy, and they seemed like they were just lost, you know? So it made me come back and appreciate that I, you know what's right and, you know, stuff like that.
Good man. Well, great to meet you and talk with both of you. Let's quickly meet your teacher and conductor, Eugene Watanabe. Eugene, the Gifted Music School is quite new. Tell us about it.
Yes, the Gifted Music School Orchestra represents our first phase in a major music school project, full tuition, meaning free tuition for all students. And the members of the Gifted School Orchestra are some of the most committed, most fun and funny group I've ever had the pleasure to work with.
Let's hear this great string orchestra made up of your students, Eugene. Before we do, I want to thank all of our great young performers today and thank you all for being with us and listening. I'm Christopher O'Reilly. Please join me next week. And now, the Presto movement from the Summer Concerto from Vivaldi's Four Seasons. Again, this is the Gifted Music School Orchestra conducted by Eugene Watanabe. The soloist is David Price.
From the Top is written and produced by Tom Vagley for Tom Vagley Productions, with Tim Banker for From the Top. Musical direction by Tom Vinieri with Caroline Cardias-Menos. Our tour producer is David Balsam. Our production manager is Elizabeth DeVore. Technical direction by Barrett Willett, with Dan Hallis and John Servies. The executive producers are Gerald Slavitt and Jennifer Hurley-Wales. I'm Joanne Robinson. From the Top is produced in association with WGBH Boston. Our home and educational partner is New England Conservatory in Boston. To download an application to appear in our program, visit fromthetop.org.
Support for NPR comes from NPR member stations and from the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, committed to building a more just, verdant, and peaceful world. More information at macfound.org. From the Wallace Foundation, a source of ideas for expanding learning opportunities beyond the school day, at wallacefoundation.org. And from the George Lucas Educational Foundation, creator of Edutopia, your source for what works in public education. Learn more at edutopia.org. This is NPR.